In this morning's gospel, we hear about events that happened after the resurrection. Many tried to spin the story to their own advantage. Jesus, however, meets with his disciples and instructs them on the next steps they are to take as his followers. Hear these words from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 11 to 20. Meanwhile, the guards had scattered, but a few of them went into the city and told the high priests everything that had happened. They called a meeting of the religious leaders and came up with a plan. They took a large sum of money and gave it to the soldiers, bribing them to say, "His disciples came in the night and stole his body while they were sleeping." And they assured them, "If the governors hear about your sleeping on duty, we will make sure you don't get blamed." The soldiers took the bribe and did as they were told. That story, cooked up by the Jewish High Council, is still going around. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountain Jesus had set for their reunion. The moment they saw him, they worshipped him. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. "God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Maganda umaga and bon dia. Buenos dias. It's great to have you here this day. Today is a special day for us when we highlight some of our hands-on ministries and hear from one of them in particular. You'll see the blue insert, some of the hands-on ministries that we have. I would encourage you to take a look at that so either you know that and also be informed about what we are doing here. But before we begin, just let me share a quick thing. This week I got an email about last week's message. My response usually to that is, uh-oh, what have I done now? Those of you who are here heard me talk about being unprepared for things in our life. That how so many times we make ourselves prepared, but we're so prepared for what we want to do that we're not ready for what God wants to do. We prepare God out of it. So when we have struggles or hurts or even calls that God gives to us or even good things, we're not ready to receive it because we're prepared to do something else. Well, the email sent to me by one of the leaders in our church said, "My son was listening to you," which scares me even more sometimes. A young son. And this family was getting ready to go on a vacation, and this young boy came to her because she was saying, "You need to get ready. You need to prepare." This young boy went to her and says, "Mom, we don't need to get ready. Pastor Bill said we can go unprepared. And God will give us a good vacation," literally is what he said. I am encouraged that he was listening. That's always an excitement about that. But we know it's a mix of things. As you will hear about the team that went down to Mississippi last summer and is going this summer is again, and about our, and many of you know who have been on our youth mission team to Appalachia, we prepare a lot. I mean, we prepare tools, we prepare our hearts, we prepare our minds, we prepare maps, we prepare relationships, we do so much preparation, but it always seems like we also need to be ready for what God gives us there. Because the preparation is for that which is unprepared for. For the grace and the love and the experience, the encouragement, the relationships God gives us, the love gives us, God gives us in those moments. Today you will hear about that. We have three people that will share about our mission trip to Katrina. Casey Conquest will go first, Sue Bruno will be second, and Jeff Gilbert will be third. So at this time I invite Casey to come forward.
Good morning, everyone. As you know, I'm Casey. Before I even start to speak about my mesmerizing experience, I need you to imagine a specific scenario first. Imagine a single husband living with his mother and his two children. Their life is not the best, but they are able to survive as long as they have each other. Then all of a sudden, their lives are literally turned upside down. A natural disaster has ruined everything they've been working for their entire lives. Instead of living in a large, square-footed house with bedrooms, sinks, bathrooms, areas to walk from room to room, they are now dwelling in a FEMA trailer. FEMA trailers are either equivalent or smaller than the size of a standard RV. Those things are great for traveling and setting up tent for a week at most, but this family has to survive in the FEMA trailer for months on end. Now, I have 6 people in my family and a dog, and sometimes a 2-story house seems very small to me. They have 4 people who are living in a house the size of a master bedroom. And this was the actual description of one of the families that the homes we worked on. And it honestly just blows my mind every single time I go on certain mission trips to see families who have close to nothing, and they are still able to survive just as long as they have each other. The Katrina trip was such a wonderful experience. I always have the mindset of working construction-wise, like being prepared, but that is not what I end up focusing on. Not only do I build a relationship with the people who live in the homes we work on, but I end up building a great relationship with the people I travel with, and most importantly, my relationship with God. I was unsure of what to expect on this trip. Not only was I going to a place where I had never been, and I was unsure of what to expect, but I was also the youngest person going on this trip, which is definitely not what I'm used to since I'm the oldest in my family. I've been on certain other things like Habitat and ASP and other soup kitchens, but Katrina opened my eyes in a completely different way, and I enjoyed every single moment of it. For the Katrina trip, there were a lot less people than I was used to. As you know, ASP, there's like 100 bazillion people that go every year. So going with a group of like 12 was much smaller than I expected. The group I was assigned to work with, we painted doors as our primary job. And this is what we did all week long. We worked on 3 homes in 1 week, which is like totally awesome because each house came with at least, I don't know, like 6 doors. So we worked on each house for 2 days, and it was just great to do a primer and then another one and then another one after that and then paint 4 times over that. So it was cool. And we were definitely experts on painting these doors by the end of the week. Along with this newly acquired expertise, I noticed there was like some sort of awesome muscle in my right arm that I never knew I had, but it wasn't in my left arm. So it's kind of like just slouching over for like the whole week. It was just weird. As for social events, we didn't really have anything planned, but we always knew exactly what we were doing, and we always did it together. And I can tell you right now, if you weren't an expert at card games, you will be if you go on this trip. It's a must-have. And the Katrina trip was less structured than also what I'm used to, and not everybody can say that they ate near the Gulf of Mexico, but not to brag, I can. And now this speech is supposed to be focused on church family and community family. The best way to have a church and community family is just to get to know them. You want to know the fastest way to get to know people? You spend 17 straight hours on the road with them. Okay, I kind of just wanted to say that was like my whole speech. That's what I waited for, so. You find out everything. Things you want to know, things you don't want to know, things you wish you would have found out before you went on the trip. You know, it goes on, and I don't really know how to explain it. Even though I definitely didn't know some things that I didn't know when I started, I wouldn't have traded it for anything else in the world. I am blessed to have God working in my life every single moment I breathe. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, 26 through 31, it states, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things are which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, has no flesh, should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Jesus Christ, who became us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That, as it is written, he who glorifies, let him glory in the Lord." Now that I know my family is not classified only as my parents and siblings, but now it also includes my brothers and sisters of the church. Thank you.
Well, she's going to be hard to follow. I just want you to know I was not in her car. Last year was my fifth mission trip with our Redeemers. My first trip was with ASP, the Appalachia Service Project. And the last four trips have been with either to New Orleans or the Mississippi area. Each year has been different and very rewarding. Last summer, my group put in new flooring into a new house that was being built. Luckily, Jeff Gilbert had done flooring before, so he gave pretty good instruction for the rest of us that had never done it before. I didn't meet the owners at this house, and sometimes that's good and sometimes it's bad. Good because you build a better relationship with the people, your team members that are there, but if you are with them, you get to hear the stories of Katrina and what's been going on since Katrina hit. It's a different experience if you don't meet the family because you don't make the ties and you don't have that fellowship with them. I was at the first house for 3 days helping with the flooring. And then on the fourth day, I had to fly out, so I traded with Doreen Gilbert. And she came and worked on the flooring, and then I went to the other house, which was closer to our camp. And that crew had been working on inside and outside. They were doing drywall, they were mudding inside, and then they were painting the outside. I did get to meet some of that family, and it was really great. I heard the story of how after they lost their house, they were living in this little shed that her father had built, and that shed was probably the size of the girls' bathroom here, maybe a little bit bigger. Could have included the men's bathroom. But it was very small, and he had made it so that they could live in it, so it was livable, and it was very cute. It was just the cutest little house I've ever seen. They had a cute little backyard, and so it was really nice that they had something that was still pleasant in their life while their house was being worked on in the front. What I want to talk about is it's not necessarily about going and doing the work at the Appalachia or New Orleans or Mississippi. We go down and we rebuild homes, or we paint, or we do flooring. But what I've learned over the years is that we are helping people put their lives back together. We are making a difference in each and every family that we help serve. In Galatians 5, verse 13, it says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. We as Christians are setting examples for others by serving and being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Pastor Bill's sermon 3 weeks ago was about who has come into your life and made an impact on you. I thought about it, and yeah, over the years when I was younger, I know teachers and other people had made an impact, but I felt that Pastor Bill coming to this church has made an impact on my life and probably many others by going on these mission trips, starting with the Appalachia Service Project, getting us involved with the soup kitchen and a lot of the other things that we do for the community. It has made a huge difference in my life. It's also been a blessing with all of your donations to help all of us make it possible to go on these mission trips. Each year I go in work in the heat and sweat and think, boy, it would be nice to go to someplace cooler next year. Especially after the first year in New Orleans when we were wearing these white suits and we were sweating a lot. But when you go meet the people and you do the work at the churches, you see what these people do every week that volunteer. They make the meals. As a matter of fact, they made the meals at Camp Hope, and you don't have to cook, so think about that for this summer. But just to hear the stories from the local leaders or the leader that comes in from UMCOR to hear the statistics of what's still going on and what is still needed down there, it really makes you think about why we are there. And I feel that I can sacrifice 1 week of my life to help a family get closer to moving in back into their home. By the end of the week, you've built relationships with the team members, with people that you've met, with everybody that you've gone with, and especially if you've played a ferocious game of spoons with Mert Rutledge. I just had to say that, Mert. Anyway, I just get this great feeling inside that says I love doing this and I love making a difference in people's lives. And it has really helped me as I look at other people, neighbors, people that I work with. I look at them in a different way because I feel like what is my purpose here in life? It's opened my eyes into serving in other ways, like bringing food for the food pantry, going to the soup kitchen, helping out with the 30-hour famine, the crop walk and the rummage sale. It's definitely brought me closer to God. I feel like I've really grown spiritually over the years. The need for help seems to be rising with all the disaster that's going on in the world, and it's important that we bring up our youth, like Casey, and others that are coming into that age group, so that they learn the importance of serving others and know that you can make a difference also. Thank you.
I am Jeff Gilbert, and my Katrina mission started 4 or 5 years ago, right where you're at, sitting right there. I was listening to some of the people who had already been on the trip talk about some of the absolutely disgusting things that they were doing down there in the heat, working with stuff that I wouldn't want to do. They spoke of the relationships that they had forged, and you'd heard this morning also of the relationships that are forged when you're down there, and I thought, well, that's not me. I am not the relationship guy. I don't go down there to bond with someone or to get close to someone. And Mert Rutledge is like that, and Mary and Doug, and you know those people. They are. That's their forte. That's them. But it's not me. But the last 2 years, we ended up picnicking with the people that they had met, and pretty much feeding the whole community when we had our little picnic in their community. And then 2 years ago, when I went down for the first time, we visited a man. We helped a man. We were there for 2 days. His name was Hillard, and he's a retired shipbuilder. They built ships for the Navy down there in Mississippi, and he was down there, and he had a house that had been damaged. And we ended up painting on the inside one day and putting wallboard and insulation up in his bedroom. And that was Hillard. We spent a couple days and said goodbye. And then last year we went down there for Katrina again at Camp Hope, and who's driving up in a car but Hillard. Here he comes. He's a sick man. He's not well. He's an old retired man. He's elderly. He's fighting cancer. And he borrowed a car because he couldn't afford to own his own car and drove over and visited us and spent dinner with us at Camp Hope. What do we do to him? You know, what did we do? We worked on him a little bit and did a couple things in his house, but he's talking about going back to church and praying again and, you know, reading the Bible. And you think, relationships? I don't build relationships with people. And God says, yes, you do. So what was my motive? It wasn't my motive when I went down there. Certainly helping other people is a big deal. And when you bring a house back to normal, by working on it, it's powerful. It's a big deal. You've heard about people living in sheds. We worked on a house and put up floor in on a house. It's a brand new house. This lady's trailer had been tossed by a tornado, and they were living in this teeny little shed. They were living in the same thing. And, you know, how does that feel when you're contributing to helping this lady and her son live in a regular house and getting out of a shed? It's It's a motivator. I was motivated by a lot of stuff. First of all, I was encouraged by my friends, the people that are sitting here. They said, you know, trust me, this is something good, and you should do it. And I did. I trusted them, and when I trusted them, you trust God, and you're not going to go wrong with that. I felt like I had to see for myself what had been going on. I'd been seeing it in the news and reading the paper, and I thought, yeah, it looks pretty bad. Those hurricanes are awful. Then you go down there, and you talk to the people who went through it. They saw it coming in. They describe it. And then you drive along the Gulf Coast there in Mississippi, and you see slabs of concrete where houses were just taken away. They're gone. They're completely gone. Or you go to the church that the people at Camp Hope go to, and you look, and you're standing on the top of a hill looking down this big hill, and the ocean is a quarter mile away, and you look up on the second floor, and here's the watermark where the water was. And you think, wow, that's a powerful God to bring all that water in. You can't believe how much water surged in. So I had to go see that for myself. But most importantly, I went with the thought of someday getting my family there. And when my family goes there, and they have been there, and you see them working with families and making a difference in their lives. We have a congregation have been told many times that the most powerful gift we can give is when we give to someone else. And do you get back from that? Well, I'm here to tell you, yeah, you do. You definitely get back when you give, whether it's in the youth trip like ASP or Katrina. It's a gift you give that you get back tenfold, that gift of joy and of grace in our life. How can you not be moved when you see your daughter working with someone and making a difference in their life? It's like a pillar of your faith when you're doing unto others like that. Then you look at the people that you're traveling with, and I know there's been a lot of funny stuff said about being in a car for that long, but you do get to know people better. And then when you find out what beautiful people that live here and worship here and that you know that you're friends, that's a pretty big deal. The working is hard. There's no question. It's hot down there, and you work hard, and you toil, and you struggle, and you're up against it sometimes. But then you're playing together too, and you're praying together, and you're eating together, and you're playing together, and you're eating together. And did you notice I say you do a lot of eating down there? It's true. But you do pray together, too. And the whole mission trip eliminates all that extraneous, extra stuff that kind of invades your life. And it just lets you focus on what you're doing down there. And that's called Walls Around the Oasis. We heard that a few weeks ago. And that happens on Katrina. And it happens on ASP. And it's a good thing. And it's a powerful thing. I was encouraged when the people before me stood here and spoke to the congregation on, you know, do this. This is the right thing. Give it a try. Put yourself out there. Come out of the light of the campfire. And so now I reciprocate. I'm here to tell you the same thing. It's not a fire burning in the desert, as Pastor Bill has said. It's more of a wet, soggy, kind of a smoldering thing down there in Mississippi and in New Orleans, but I encourage you to give it a try.
I know I'm nothing on my own, but the power of power of Christ in me. The power of Christ in me.
If you look at our blue insert, we have highlighted a few of the hands-on ministries we have here at the church. We know it's not for everybody, but for those who are interested, it's an amazing thing. Our soup kitchen ministry, which Joanne Gregorosh does a lot with, if you have information.